Hearing none, I'll move forward to the 200s. Most of the 200s has remained relatively unchanged. The EMS gas and lube has increased, as Jordan spoke to yesterday. We're just still trying to figure out how we are using our EMS gas and what our exact total will be come the end of the year. So we'll have a much better idea, but we estimated low, unfortunately, for this year. So we've had to do some transfer of appropriations and just move some things around. And so far we've managed to figure it out without an additional, and I hope that we will continue to do so. So we've got fuel at 30,000 for 1151 and 1236, so 60,000 total. Oil changes and lube I've got for a total of 10,000. Tires, total of 10,000 between the two. And then EMS medical supplies is at 68,000 per budget. So, what is that, 136? Am I doing my math right? Mm-hmm. And then medical oxygen, air gas, we've got it at 7,500. So I'll just talk about like some of the creative ways we're trying to save some money here in this 200 line items. EMS medical supplies. So we've previously ordered, it's called a start kit, an IV start kit. And with it comes a alcohol prep pad, a IV, a venous tourniquet, a 2x2 gauze pad, some other stuff in there, right? And we did an analysis and we figured out we could save $3,000 a year if we just make our own. So we've stopped ordering them and we're making our own now. Medical oxygen, air gas. We are saving $5,000 a year by going down and picking up the oxygen tanks ourselves instead of having them delivered because of a hazmat fee charge. Wow. So some of the things that we're tackling, that's $8,000 in savings just by doing little things. And I just want to share that our team is really good about looking for those things and trying to figure out how we can save a dollar.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Continuing through miscellaneous maintenance supplies. You never know what a year is going to bring in terms of miscellaneous stuff. So I always try to throw something in there. And in terms of maintenance and then laundries and supplies, we've got washer and dryer at each station in case, with our crews working a 48, if they get something gross on their clothing, they need the capacity to be able to wash their uniform while they're wearing their spare uniform. And then other supplies, unforeseen expenses, just $1,000, just a general hit for each budget. And then, yeah, anything in the 200s? Questions, comments, concerns?
Please continue.
Okay, 300s. Last year, we really tried to revamp our 300s, just breaking everything down so we have a much more detailed account of where everything is coming from. So, like, you'll see medical billing. I have an error. It's no longer Acumed. They got bought out. It's EMSMC, so I need to fix that. But that's $42,000 per budget. Medicaid reimbursement. So the Malcom, they tackle the Medicaid reimbursement. They charge us for all of their work with gathering the additional Medicaid reimbursement. And while that has lagged for multiple years, we're actually caught up now. We got the 2024 one last month. So, yeah, it was great. Scheduling and credential tracking, our medical record system, hands heavy, all of that kind of groups into our daily operations and patient care aspects. Then you've got our EMT program, certification classes, paramedic program, and paramedic program medical director. You will see that the paramedic program, there's a significant cut in that line item. Reason being is this year, here in about a month or two, we will have co-amps coming in and doing our really big audit for our official accreditation. Once that accreditation process is complete, we have a 5-year period of time in which we're not going to be faced with the same expenses of flying their team in for the accreditation process. And then the mental health EAP, this is left blank at this time because the Opioid Settlement Committee has been great about giving us $10,000 increments to support that as we use that up, I will continue to advocate for it. Fun fact, not so much of a fun fact, but a fact, they just analyzed EMS PTSD rates and compared it to military people who served in the military who saw combat, and they reported equivalent rates of PTSD. So we definitely need to continue to invest in the mental health of our first responders. And we use Suncrest Psychological Services. They do a great job for our team. Medical IT communication, that is unchanged. Information material, unchanged. I think that jumps us down to utilities. Frankfort Municipal Utilities, electric is Duke Energy out at Medic 4 in Boylston. We use Xfinity for cable, gas for Medic 4 CenterPoint, and then internet and cable through Mulberry Telecommunications. We've got that all broken down. And then continues on through maintenance contracts, our air conditioning maintenance, office repairs, vehicle repairs, so on and so forth. And really the 300 section is very much relatively unchanged. Do you guys have any questions or comments through the 300s?
Steven, what did you call Acumen?
It's EMS MC.
Okay. We can change that in the budget.
Yeah. Perfect. Thanks. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
There's a whole reason I put it in parentheses, and then I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, I forgot to change that.
Yeah. No, we can change it on the book.
Any other questions or comments on the 300s?
You might just, because I had asked this question to you, so it's possible somebody else might have the same question, the $5,000 line item for the paramedic program medical director. Just clarify, that's not related to our person. That's...
Yes, correct. That is for Nate Marcinkowski, who is our paramedic program medical director, and for his fee of service, he charges us $10,000 annually. Yeah. So, and that is a required position for our paramedic program. Okay.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay. 400s. You'll see an increase in furniture. Our chairs get used and abused, and we need some replacement chairs. So those are thrown in there. And then I should clarify why they're being used and abused. They're rolling office chairs, and so as we move them from one space to the classroom and back, we've had multiple wheels break off and stuff like that. Okay. So, and those have been there since we moved into the building in 18. Machinery and equipment. Ambulance lease, that's a significant cut as we move forward with just one ambulance lease moving into the next 3 years. Radio equipment, I'm very hopeful that we're able to secure a grant that we are applying for this month that will replace all of our portable radios, but year to date we've spent over $3,500 on radio repairs as they're ending their or nearing their end of life. The Zoll 1 contract, that's we're locked in with that for another 9 years. That is for our cardiac monitors, and I'm optimistic that we will get the brand new cardiac monitor that they're allegedly releasing here in October, and we will be one of the first EMS agencies in the country to have that, and we'll be set with that for the next 8 years. So absolute top of the line equipment. So. Dash and patient compartment cameras and body cameras, we're on a 5-year contract with those, 4 years remaining.
And how is that going? Is that going well?
Yeah, so we're trying very hard to do a soft rollout to allow our crews to get used to it and exposure to it. And, you know, I actually just met with C-Shift 2 days ago, and they said that everything, they haven't even had a patient say, is that a body camera? Nobody's even noticing that they're on. They've been really good. The crews have, for the calls that they have reviewed, they've enjoyed being able to go back and look at the timestamps and understand, hey, this was actually the timing of it all. Because our brains play tricks on us. When you show up on a scene as a first responder, firefighter, law enforcement, EMS, every single one of your senses is being overstimulated. Your sight, your hearing, your touch, your cognitive function is absolutely maxed out. And so that fight or flight narrows your field of vision. And so you don't see what's going on in your periphery. And your brain starts playing tricks on you and you start forgetting things. And you're like, oh, I totally didn't even realize that happened. And so I'll just leave it at that. So it gives the crew a great perspective after the fact to be able to make sure their charting is more accurate, and then also gives our paramedic students an opportunity to learn from the cases that they've been involved in.
Great.
Okay. Anything on the 400s?
So as I noted, those are essentially split 50-50 between the two
yes.
budgets. But if you go to the bottom number of the 1236 budget, you'll notice it's a different number, so they don't match. And that difference is in certain, I guess, the benefits and
retirement.
Yeah, all of the fringe, I guess, stuff that goes with the employees. You'll recall that we had that discussion earlier this year. That it's we made the decision last year because it was the first year of receiving that lit tax that we didn't have enough money that was going to come in. We were trying to give that fund a little bit of room to grow, and so we agreed to take that on the county general side from that budget. That situation continues on to this year. If you look at our certified rate for EMS, it's for 2026 from the state is $1.76 million. And if you'll look at that 1236 budget at the bottom line, we've got it to 1.768. So we attempted to match up with the money that was going to be coming in. So to do that, we needed to, again, for 2026, move those PERF, health insurance, those kinds of things over to the county general line item. But that's keeping it flat year over year because it was in there last year. So wanted to make that clarification.
I'm going to read the whole number out just for the audience and everybody sure. to know that we're going to be within $1,000 difference on our 1236 budget. So what we will be receiving for the EMS lit is $1,767,961, and what our budget is $1,768,699. Yeah. So less than $1,000 difference between the two, and we'll have enough carryover between this year to fund that.
I just wanted to explain the difference between the two budgets. Anybody have any questions about any of those parts of the budgets? If not, we'll circle back to the assistant director discussion.
I'll throw out a little bit more first,
okay. Yeah.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
So 1151 current balance as of August 29th was $432,633. And what we are projected for in revenue for the 1151 this year is $1,841,450, including a Department of Homeland Security grant for our paramedic program. So we will be about $200,000 shy of what is budgeted in the 1151, but we have that current fund balance of $432,000 and change that will roll over into next year. So we will start with a fund balance that will allow us to get through the year. So when I started in 22, the year prior being 21, the total revenue we generated was $1,445,000. So now being up to, you know, about $400,000 more, I think we've done very well over the last few years tightening things up. So.
Good perspective. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Assistant Director.
We talked about this earlier in the year.
Yes. So we talked about this earlier in the year. It went through the, I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher the name.
Classification
Committee. Thank you. I was going to say job, salary, and everything else. Classification Committee. The ask is that we put the assistant director $5,000 above the shift supervisor's annual revenue. What's difficult about our budget is with the 4896, EMS is not exempt to the overtime like fire departments are due to just federal legislation and FLSA laws. So we have to pay that overtime. As we work the same number of hours per year as a fire department does with our 4896 is 120 shifts or 60 48 hour shifts is equivalent to the California Kelly or modified Kellys like Frankfort Fire or other Indiana fire departments are running. So it's the same number of hours worked per year, but we have to pay all the overtime. So our annual compensation for our EMTs and paramedics and supervisors who are working the 48.96 becomes inflated because of how large that overtime is, because it's 55.4 hours per week is the average. So every week we're paying, on average, 15.4 hours of overtime per employee. So it inflates. But the nice thing is it allows us to cut two paramedic positions and two EMT positions versus the schedule we were using previously. So it optimizes the schedule. Obviously, it optimizes overtime, as we saw a $200,000 cut in overtime, or $175,000 to be specific. So the ask is that we analyze all of that data, and we respect the fact that we're a complicated department in terms of how we're setting our annual compensation for our employees. And the ask is that the paramedic or the assistant director is moved above the shift supervisor, as their responsibilities are greater than that of a supervisor. In the line of career development, it would be a promotion. And currently, as it stands, we would be asking them to take a $15,000 pay cut to be promoted.
Did we ever actually create the position of assistant director?
I think the classification committee said that he could give her a new position, but at that time we weren't giving him any.
We're adjusting the salary.
Money.
But did it get created? Did it go? I can't remember whether we actually went through the approval process.
You did.
We did.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we need to change that in the book. So I think that is what you refer to. If you look at your form one, is that 0012? What we're showing as paramedic program director.
Yes.
That should be the
assistant director.
Assistant director.
We eliminated the paramedic program director position and
just
we changed it.
In the book, it got listed the same both places, the old place and the new place. Yeah. So it just needs a new title.
Okay.
Those are the lines in the financial system, so it is not a big deal to change.
Okay. So it should be paramedic program assistant director? Is that what you're saying?
It should just be assistant director.
Okay.
All right, council thoughts. We've had this same discussion with the sheriff department in the past about trying to have that, you know, staggered wage scale to give a path of advancement, career advancement. So I understand the logic.
The same person has been in this position. This same person has worked for you since 2023, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, Stephen, I love you. And I think public safety is really, really important. But I need some justification for this position, this person. Did they take more education? Did they get more certifications? What is taking them from $49,900 a year to $102,000 a year?
No, it's 86.36 to 102.
Well, that's going from 23. I'm just going from 23. Year 23, 2023. This same person was working for EMS in 2023, right?
Well,
yes.
You got to take that times two, though, still, because it's only half the number.
I already did that.
The 2025 actual for her is $80,636.
Right.
Yes.
And I had that. But in 24, it was 68,602, and in 23, it was 49,900. So I'm just backing up.
So the 23, that year, it was actually, we had it listed as a part-time position.
Okay.
And then that's when we started this whole journey on the paramedic program creation of it. So when we went out to Denver and we sat through the required course or required conference for COAMPS, and you know, in our room it's deans of universities, and we're like, well, we're a little understaffed as a part-time paramedic program director. So
and I understand this is what I want you to do. I want you to justify.
Yeah. So then in 23, we said, hey, we're going to need to move her to full-time. And so we set that rate in 23.
Okay.
Moving into 24 was when we did the 48.96. And that is where everybody lapsed. And so then in 25, moving into 25, we made this big adjustment. And actually the adjustment was we did a 3% raise and we added 5 hours per week to her. So she's working more hours to make that up. So it's truly not a raise. Okay. It was just additional work.
Okay.
So that we could get her above, because the EMTs that she was training to become paramedics were making more a year than she was making.
All right.
So my justification for it is, you know, something that Alan impressed upon me when I first took this role was it's not about me in this role. It's about the next person. And it's about, you know, he spoke about it for his own seat as a council member. Is it's not about me. It's about the one who fills my seat. And it's that 10-year vision. Well, you know, when we reach our capacity to retire, and the next person is going to fill it, how do I sell to the next person, hey, you're going to take a $15,000 pay cut and you're going to get promoted? That's the $15,000 question I'm asking and scratching my head. I don't know how to justify that. And it's, you know, yeah, we can say it's the person. I think Dolores is fantastic. You know, there is nobody else that could have helped us accomplish the things that we've accomplished with our paramedic program and just the growth of our service. There's nobody else that I think would have done as good of a job as her, right? But this isn't Dolores' position. It's right. The assistant director position. And
it's,
so
it's a position.
It's that 5-10-year vision of how do I sell it to the next person? Hey, you're going to become an assistant director, but you take a pay cut for it. And I mean, at the 80,000, I mean, what we asked, what's tough is, you know, we were analyzing the paramedic program director and we were saying, well, how do we compare this throughout the state? And it's, well, there's only one other county-based EMS program in the state of Indiana.
Okay. So there's
no comparison. Yeah, it's hard to compare. And their salary, if I remember right, I wish Cecily was down here so I could put her on the spot instead of myself. But if I recall correctly, their salary was several thousand dollars above what Dolores' is today. Okay. Or the paramedic program director is today. And so, yeah, I mean,
we just, you know, this is a tough situation. I mean, EMS is its, yep, own, is its own animal kind of thing, but we still only have so much money. And I'm just, when
yeah,
this is just a large request. And
it is.
I just thought it deserved some conversation.
Absolutely. No, and that's why I wanted to save it for last, knowing there's going to be people on both sides of it, right? I respect that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, my job is to come up here and advocate for my people in my department, and
yes,
your job is to analyze that argument and then advocate for the community and the county as a whole. And so I respect both sides of it, and I hope you can,
yeah,
respect the volley back and forth. So
she continues to take on the role of paramedic program director as part of that responsibility of assistant director, correct?
Correct.
And you referenced earlier about a Homeland Security grant for the paramedic program. Is any of her salary eligible to be offset by a grant for that paramedic program director?
So the grant itself wasn't based on salaries or needs or anything like that. We had to justify the dollar amount that we were asking for, and then they pay us per student that passes the exam, which is a little,
okay,
you're going to get me on a rabbit hole. So like 3 paramedic students graduated from our first cohort. That's $30,000 right there. And then we get paid, I'll have to double check EMTs. It's either $1,000 or $2,000 per EMT. So we have 12 EMTs that pass. Well, there's 12 or 24,000, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, as we near the end of this cohort, we'll have 5 paramedic students. Well, between those 3 that we had, and then the 5 that will pass this year and graduate, that's $80,000 is what we'll be collecting in reimbursements for past students. Now, you want to talk about advocating at the state level. They're currently paying, the Department of Homeland Security is currently paying students' tuitions for a program out of Texas that is online that doesn't even meet the Indiana standards for a paramedic program. They don't even complete all the clinical hours that are required by the Department of Homeland Security, but they're paying for it.
Who's paying for it?
State.
IDHS.
Indiana.
Yes. So they're advertising that the tuition is covered, this program, is advertising that their tuition is covered by Indiana, and yet we're charging our students $7,800 because we're not granted the same opportunity. We have to pass our students on the national registry before, which has a national pass average of 70%. We have to pass them first before the state will give us $10,000. So there's my soapbox.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Somebody clip this and share it on YouTube.
Thank you for sharing that with us, because I'll be asking some questions about that.
Yeah.
I've heard from Carol. Anybody else care to speak to the issue? From a longer-term perspective, I'll say this. We've come so far with this department from where it was. And even taking the big step last year of adding those additional three positions to help deal with the overtime and just burnout. And it just feels like we're $15,000 away from having it where we want to be. It's what I feel like.
Those three paramedic positions, I'll just testify to that a little bit more. Of somebody asked me after a commissioner meeting a couple weeks ago, do we even need ALS service in this community? You're advocating for paramedics on every truck. Why? And, you know, I will tell you right now, I can count on one hand the number of patients that don't make it to the hospital. If we show up and they are alive with a pulse and are breathing, I can count on one hand the number of patients that do not make it to the hospital alive and breathing per year right now because of the advancements in our care. That was not the same. I mean, shoot, in the 1970s, they loaded you in the back of a hearse and drove really fast, right? So the advancement of EMS has come a long way, and the advancement of Clint County EMS has come a long way. So the ability to have an extra set of hands in the back of an ambulance while we're providing critical care medicine is huge, and it's a safety factor for our community. So
I have a question, Alan, and I'm sure you'll know the answer to this. So I believe there's new legislation that will allow fire departments to come in and ask for part of this?
Well, it was a little bit of what Emma addressed yesterday to my question at the end. So the new SEA1 income tax structure has a 0.4% rate that can be used, and it's listed as EMS and fire.
Okay. That
and we currently have a 0.2% EMS rate. And so that was my question to Emma, was about, you know, I'm assuming that our EMS rate gets grandfathered and we don't have to do anything but split anything that we would try to do beyond that, and she could not confirm that, and said, yeah, that's sort of like one of those gray areas that we've got to make sure we are getting heard by our legislators. But knowing how tight this budget is, you know, I don't think we need 0.2, we need 0.25 really to be where Stephen needs to be. So that doesn't leave very much for the fire.
That was just my concern.
So we need to, I do think we need to be talking to legislators about that, because we're a unique county. We've got to defend the way we've been doing it, or otherwise we've got some issues.
Well, I think that what legislators probably, I'm going to assume here, which is dangerous, probably struggle to understand, is you have a lot of fire departments in the state of Indiana that are providing EMS services through them. Like, if you look at the Indianapolis model, the suburbs of Indianapolis, Carmel, Westfield, like, they're all ALS transport fire departments. So they have their own ambulances within their firehouse. And they operate in unison. But for counties that don't have that same resource, they have a few options. One, rely on a hospital-based service to provide the ambulance service. Like, look at Howard County, for example. You've got St. Vincent, Kokomo, and you've got Howard Community, and those two, they both staff two ambulances and provide the coverage for the community. Or you do something like what we do, and we provide the county EMS service through taxpayer funding. Or you can look at, I'm just going to call it what it is, a failed model, where the county contracts with private EMS agencies for coverage for the community, and it undercuts the dangers of the two models that are not county-based models is it undercuts the community values and needs. Because I can come up here and I can tell you stories about taking 22 minutes of a response time to get to a pediatric arrest because of understaffing. Yeah, that sucks. But today, where our ambulances are and the staffing that we have, our average for our EMS response is less than the state average substantially for the entire state for an ambulance to get on scene. And that's something that we should be proud of, and it's better care for our community. So our legislators, while they may say, well, you know, look at this county, they're doing it for this dollar amount, why can't you do the same? Well, you're going to have to cut staffing. You're going to have to cut response times. You're going to have to cut quality of care. And when you cut those things, the next drawback is increased mortality, increased morbidity, and negative outcomes for your neighbor. So 0.3%, not 0.25. No.
Okay. Duly noted.
Just
as far as the assistant director, I'm happy with his explanation. I don't know if the committee needs